Greg Wilhoit had been at McAllister for 9 months. He was an iron worker, a tough union man with a record of marijuana possessions but nothing violent. In 1985, Greg and his wife Kathy separated. They had two infant daughters and a lot of problems. Greg helped Kathy move into an apartment and stopped by almost every night to see his girls. They were hopeful the marriage could be patched up, but both needed some time alone. They remained sexually active and faithful. Neither slept around. On June 1st, 3 weeks after the separation, a neighbor in Kathy's apartment building became alarmed at the non-stop crying of the two daughters. The neighbor knocked on the door, and when there was no answer, she called the police. Inside, on the floor downstairs, they found Kathy's body. Upstairs, the two toddlers were in their cribs, hungry and frightened. Kathy had been raped and strangled. The time of death was between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. When the police interviewed Greg, he said he was at home, asleep by himself, and thus had no alibi witness. He adamantly denied any involvement in his wife's murder and resented the questioning from the police. The investigation produced a fingerprint on a phone that had been ripped from the wall and was on the floor near Kathy. The fingerprint matched neither Greg nor his wife. The police found pubic hair and, most important, what appeared to be a bite mark on Kathy's breast. A crime lab expert confirmed that the killer had bitten the breast hard during the attack. Being the estranged spouse, Greg was soon the leading suspect, though the fingerprint did not match. Melvin Hett with the state crime lab concluded that the pubic hair was not microscopically consistent with Greg's sample. The police asked Greg to submit an impression of his teeth to compare with the bite mark. Greg did not appreciate being a suspect. He was completely innocent and didn't trust the police. With the help of his parents, he paid $25,000 and retained a lawyer. The police did not appreciate Greg hiring a lawyer. They obtained a court order requiring him to submit an impression of his teeth. He did, and heard nothing for 5 months. He was raising his two daughters, working full-time as an iron worker, and hoping the police were history when they arrived one day in January 1986 with an arrest warrant for first-degree murder, punishable by death. His first lawyer, though well-paid and with a good reputation, was far too interested in negotiating a plea bargain. Greg fired him a month before trial, then made the enormous mistake of hiring George Briggs, a washed-up old lawyer at the end of a long, colorful career. His fee was $2,500, a bargain and a red flag. Briggs was from the old school of country lawyers. "You get your witnesses, I'll get mine, and we'll show up at the courthouse and have a good fight. No pre-trial discovery. When in doubt, just trust your instincts in court and fly by the seat of your pants." Briggs was also an alcoholic who was addicted to painkillers that he began taking a few years earlier after a motorcycle accident left him partially brain damaged. On a good day, he reeked of booze but could still go through the motions. On a bad day, he'd been known to snore in the courtroom and urinate on himself and vomit in the judge's chambers. He was often seen staggering along the hallways of the courthouse. Greg and his parents became alarmed when Briggs drained a few bottles of beer during a lunch. His drinking and drug addiction were well known to the trial judge and to the Oklahoma State Bar Association, but virtually nothing was done to either stop Briggs or help him, or protect his clients. Greg's family located a highly regarded bite expert in Kansas, but Briggs was too busy or too hungover to chat with the man. Briggs interviewed no witnesses and, as far as Greg could tell, did little preparation. The trial was a nightmare. The state called two bite experts, one of whom had finished dental school less than a year earlier. Briggs had nothing to rebut their testimony. The jury deliberated for 2 hours and found Greg guilty. Briggs called no mitigating witnesses, and the jury deliberated for 1 hour and set the punishment at death. 30 days later, Greg was taken back to court to receive his sentence of death.